This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Talbot lifts 3 one-on-ones in the game. Miss a penalty after 30 seconds of the game. Situations that we had all throughout. We didn't take one of them and we conceded a relatively soft goal again. Good football from their point of view, but I think we have to defend it a little bit better. And ultimately, that's the game. Performance-wise, I thought we were very good coming away from home. 4 or 5 players missing. I thought it was a very good performance.
A 1-0 loss at Leyton Orient may have left Nigel Clough on the fence, but are Mansfield Town's fans alongside him collecting splinters? Or have they got their feet on the grass in another garden entirely? Perhaps it was the delusions caused by the heat, but heading back to the coach yesterday, I heard everything from, "We'll win nothing until we buy a striker," to, "We'd have won that if it wasn't for the goalkeeper." Personally, I think it's a mixture of the two, although I do think I'll be saying this until January, and if I hear one more comment about Donny Johnson, I think I may explode. He's gone! Let it go! Anyway, as defeat in the sun-drenched capital followed a narrow cup exit to Derby in midweek, we'll cast our eye over proceedings from the last week and much, much more in between, including a brand new feature. As ever, come and have your say on your team in the live feed. Leave us your comments, your questions, your opinions and 6 lottery numbers. Or is that just wishful thinking? Delusions of the sun again. Anyway, this is the show for the fans, by the fans. This is the Mansfield Matters podcast. Those 6 lottery numbers, by the way, is to buy us some brand new streaming software. After a year of using Restream, it's starting to wane a little bit. Maybe it's crumbling under the heat. Who knows? Anyway, all of that aside, hello. Welcome to the Mansfield Matters podcast, the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because win, lose or draw, Mansfield always matters. My name's Craig Priest. Joining me tonight, well, we've got an absolute array of stag supporting people of all ages from all parts of the Midlands to discuss all things Mansfield Town and of course you guys at home as well. Tonight we're going to be talking the Leyton Orient defeat, we'll be talking the Carabao Cup exit at the hands of Derby County, what was a very narrow game in midweek, and we'll be talking lots more in between. If you've got anything to say, comments, questions, opinions, if you're watching the live feed, get them in the live feed right now. Have your say in the comments and we'll read some of them out during the course of the show. And if you listen to the audio version of this, then make sure you come and join us. We'll be live again, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, 10 days time. More on that later on. Right, that's enough of me rambling. Let's get some of those comments coming in and say hello to the people that are joining me on tonight's voyage of all things Mansfield Town. Cam Felton will be joining us eventually. He was logged on to the stream before I pressed go live and then he's disappeared. So we'll see where he turns up later on the show. But let's find out who else is joining us by heading over to say hello, good evening to the Edwin So Stag, who has brought a booster and looks like an F1 controller. Clive Parkin, good evening.
Good evening, Craig. Hello, everybody.
What's with the headset? Talk me through the change in headwear.
It's one thing rather than two, isn't it? I was using a separate microphone and separate headset, and this is much easier to work with. And I'm getting lazy in my old age. It's one less thing to plug in.
fair play. Like I say, Cam will be with us eventually when he's restarted everything in Presco Live. He manages to figure it out. But we've also got one man who's back from his jollies. The man who's won more champagne over the last week or so than anybody who's won the lottery and can afford champagne on an hourly basis. His name is Alan Wilson. It's the Wonder Returns. Good evening.
Good evening, Craig. Good evening, Clive. Good evening, everybody.
Well, hopefully, you know, we will get to, you know, get you back to winning ways on Tuesday night. But there are a few people that are delighted that you are back at One Course Stadium, Alan. No, not the adoring crowd, your adoring public, but those people on your holiday resort who are getting sick and tired of seeing you win the quiz every single night.
Well, you know the old adage, Craig, you've got to be in it to win it. And we just kept winning it. Simple as.
Very, very true. We'll get you to pick some lottery numbers for us later on. And talk of the devil, I've just heard it beep in my ears, but I can't see it pop up. I'm sure Cam will be there in a minute. I did hear it beep in my ears, but I can't see him yet to let him in. So let's go to some comments, shall we? And Adam has kicked us off with a vital one, Alan. He says, I just don't care. Before we start, if Danny Johnson scores, he didn't work out at Mansfield and he was moved on. Move on.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we've got to do. He's not. He's on loan at Warsaw for a reason. He wasn't getting any game time at Mansfield. Admitted he's scored 5 goals or whatever. Same as the same scenario with Danny Rose. They've gone now. Let's stick with the Mansfield Town players we've got and hope that they start firing on all cylinders very soon.
You can understand the frustration, though.
It's all the Dannys, isn't it? It's all the Dannys. The Danny that went to Warsaw, the Danny that went to Stevenage, and Danny Cook, Bradford.
You mean Danny. Andy Cook? You mean Andy Cook? See how you're trying to make it work, Jesus.
Yeah.
You say you're trying to make it work.
It doesn't.
It certainly does not.
Well, no, I'm trying to take it, and not very successfully, is that when people move on, they've gone. It's as simple as, and you can regret it, you can lament it as much as you like. But the only thing that matters and tomorrow is what you've got to aim for. And we've had 2 away defeats. It's very early in the season. We didn't deserve anything from them, in my opinion. Yesterday, it was almost a travesty. We didn't win the game. But these things happen.
These things do happen indeed. Jamie says, decent performance, but we are missing out on an out-and-out striker. We need one ASAP, so please don't say that we have already got one and he plays at the back and he isn't the answer. We'll delve more into that in a little while, Alan, but obviously you've been overseas on holiday, topping up the tan and, you know, bringing back the duty-free champagne. What have you made of all things Mansfield Town whilst you've been overseas on the sunbed?
Well, I listened to both matches, and at Salford, it didn't sound as though we played very well. You know, they just couldn't, from what, you know, the commentary was saying, that we didn't string more than 2-3 passes together. But Derby was a different thing, kettle of fish altogether. I was really excited with that. I was on edge at seat all the while through, and it sounded, and we'd even got I'd got a double connector. I was listening to one, and a Leicester City fan who I met on holiday was listening to the other, and we're going quite excited. So it was just a shame that we didn't pull it off in the end.
Let's see if the technical bugs will work. Cam's in his new office, in his new house. He's not yet got internet wired in, which is why he's a little bit sketchy. He's using his phone to tether. It's showing 4 out of 10 on the stability bar at my end in the back studio. Let's see if we can chat to him, though. Are you there, Cameron? I'm going to take that as a no. Oh,
no, not yet.
I'll send him a message in a minute and tell him I'll ring him like I did with Nathan last week. Of course, Alan, you know, you listened to the Salford game. You were spot on about that. Didn't play very well. Derby game, a different story, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, they played really well, apparently, and they were really unlucky not to, you know, to get the result to take us to penalties. But, you know, it's promising signs, Craig, promising signs. It sounds as though they played really well. And it was nice to see Kellen Gordon back, or nice to hear Kellen Gordon back, because apparently he had a good game. Wasn't he the man of the match?
He was on Tuesday night, yeah. He was voted
it on. It was the sponsor's man of the match, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wasn't as convinced, to be fair. And I certainly wasn't as convinced yesterday either. I didn't think he contributed a great deal yesterday. But, no. You know, it was a stinky hot day. It wasn't right for either team yesterday. It was awful. And they shouldn't be required to play in that sort of weather. It stole some of the quality from the game. Despite that, both teams played commendable football. But going back to the Derby game, I thought it was a cracking game of football. For any impartial observer, it would have been a really entertaining match. Both teams came out to win, and the better team prevailed in the end. They had just a bit more strength than we had.
A good crowd as well.
Excellent crowd. Normally you get one man and his dog for the first round of the League Cup. And all right, they filled their end, which is not surprising given the size of the club and where they're travelling from. But to have over 5,100 Stags fans there, it just shows where we are compared to where we've been in terms of core support. Well, home support, not necessarily core support. But certainly our season ticket sales and that number suggests that, you know, we have a bigger bank of now, which is good.
Keep your comments in. Have your say on yesterday's game and the Derby game. Now, I'm going to nip on into the other room. I'm going to exit myself from view so you can't see where I'm going. But I am still here. But until I get back and let myself in, you two are in charge. So I'm going to leave this with you and see what happens. Phil says, after yesterday's result, we need a goal scorer. Discuss.
I'm going to say, looking through a couple of the comments, thank you very much to Peter. He said, great to have Alan on Mansell Matters. Enjoyed a great debate bringing you back from East Midlands. And I certainly did, Peter. It was a very nice trip. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And it'd be nice to see you probably at a Stags game somewhere along the line. Over to you, Clive, if you want to read another comment.
Or maybe he could be a guest on Mansell Matters at some point.
Who knows?
That's up to the fellow who's gone to make a cup of tea, I guess. I don't buy this desperate need for a striker, but I do understand it quite well. We've scored one goal in three league games. You know, that doesn't augur well, does it? And we have problems because of injuries, and that hasn't helped. I don't buy the argument that we need another number nine because I don't think we play with a number nine anyway.
I'm going to have to cut you off because I think we've got breaking Cam Felton on the line. Let's find out. Hello, Cam Felton.
Oh, I think I'm here.
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I can hear you, Cam. Good evening.
I don't think you'll be able to... Oh, no, you can. I didn't think you'd be able to hear Alan and Clive, but apparently you can.
Yeah, I can hear them.
Oh, happy days. Well, there you go. We can have a full-on discussion. All over the place, as always.
Good evening,
13
Cam.
Minutes in. Oh, dear. Right. what were you talking about? I wasn't really listening, to be honest.
No, you weren't listening. You interrupted.
I just read a couple of comments, and Clive was on about, you know, he didn't think there was a need for a certain number nine, as it, you know. Past,
I think we need, what I'll say is we definitely nine, need but, more. We need more firepower, but it isn't as simple as finding a number nine because I don't think we play that sort of game. But we are leaving our key striker somewhat unsupported at the moment.
Well, let's bring... Well, let's bring Cam onto it as it breaks up. Cam, I'm now relying on you. Do we need another striker after yesterday? What's your view on it? Do we need, the Mansfield Town need another striker?
Yeah. I think Oatsy can't do it all on his own. And I think when you think about it, you've got three strikers that are actually playing up front of them here, and that's Oates, One and Bowery. You're not playing Hawkins as a striker, you're not playing Aikens as a striker at the minute, so you've got to do something. No, he can't do it on his own. Jordan's obviously suspended for another two games, which in the grand scheme of things isn't a massive issue, but it's the fact that we just can't score. The goal that we scored against Tranmere was an absolute fluke. It kind of just bounced off Hobbottle. Weren't good enough going forward against Salford, and then same again yesterday, just not good enough going forward. We create the chances, but we can't finish them off, and I don't think that's through a lack of trying, because we absolutely hammered Leighton Orient, and it's just frustrating. You create a million and one chances and then you get their second chance and they score from it, which is by far the most frustrating thing. But, oh, man, I mean, it's the old saying of the easy way, the hard way, and then the Mansfield Town way. And, you just seem to be repeating yourself every season. We said this last season, we needed a striker, we needed a striker. We bring Johnson in, he doesn't do it. And then same again, we needed a striker this season. What do? We send Johnson out on loan and he scored 5 in 4. So either way, we can't seem to win at the minute. But
let's delve into Paul's comment, Alan. Is Oates lacking confidence in front of goal? Stags need a striker ASAP. Surely Mr. Clough must see it. The fans see it. So come on, Nigel, please get one. And let's deal with the first part of that comment. I think the latter is quite obvious. Is Oates lacking confidence in front of goal? For me, it's not actually been the same Reece Oates that we know and love since his injury towards the back end of last season. I've now lost all audio for Alan Wilson. This is going really, really well. Can't hear a word he's saying. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Let's see if we can get Clive back. Hello, Clive, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. I've tried rebooting, standing on one leg and spinning round.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. We're talking Reece Oates and confidence. Paul was asking in the comments, is he lacking confidence? I personally think he's not been the same since the back end of last season.
No, he took a bit of a knock towards the end of the last season. And after that, he wasn't as sharp and as bright as he had been. And like every other striker, goals breed confidence and confidence breeds goals. It's a bit of a vicious circle when it's not working. But I mean, on another day, he'd have got 2 goals yesterday and that would have been the difference, wouldn't it? So he's still our best striking player, but that's not saying a lot because we've had a lot of those fit to ready to play. I don't know what the solution is and I don't think many people do. And just to go out and go to a Danny Rose type player is not the solution.
Cam, your thoughts on it?
I think he's maybe lacking a little bit, but I think that's just any striker. Especially a goal scoring striker, you need to be scoring goals to get the confidence. And yeah, it is a vicious cycle to be stuck in because you've not got the confidence to get a goal, but to get the confidence, you need to score a goal. What's the fix for that this season other than just keep playing him and hope that he scores? Because unfortunately, with the way things are going, we've not got that back in there. Obviously, Aikens is still picking up, still got a bit of a knock. Bauer is still suspended. Boateng now seems to be injured. And it just is one thing after another this season. And we thought start of last season could be any worse. But, I mean, it's good that we got a win under his belt last weekend, but we just need to be taking baby steps still. Because obviously we brought quite a few players in and obviously the core of the squad is still there. But when you're missing players left, right and centre, it's going to upset the team. And it's great that Callum Gordon's back in the side because we've needed him. And obviously Jordan Bauer is not able to play and neither is Lucas Aikens. But you lose a couple of key players, but you gain another. So topsy-turvy start to the season. But yeah, chaos.
Let's go back to some more
podcast tonight.
Mate, it's been like this all season long. So it's going well so far this season. I'm going to just say hello to Alan Wilson and see if he can talk. Hello, Alan Wilson. No, not got him at all. What you need to do, mate, is you need to do what you did before, exit and then re-enter. That should fix el problemo. Let's go back to some more comments. Honestly, I think it's a sign, you know, Clive, from the podcasting gods that we should just stop. Let's go back to some more comments. It's still very early days, says Roger, but 1 goal in 3 games is not great. But I still think we will come good. Whether we are dynamic enough to be one of the top teams is debatable. at the moment. Craig says goals will come. Oates was a slow starter last season too. Swan will get goals. Maybe once he gets one, he will kick on. I also thought Jordan Barry was unavailable again on Tuesday night. Clough said that Barry is available on Tuesday. My understanding of it is that it was a one-game ban. Could be wrong. Hope I'm right, though. I hope it is just a one-game ban. Because to be honest, Clive, I actually felt whether he played up top or at wing-back, we actually missed a little bit of Jordan Bowery at Leighton Orient yesterday.
It would have been a useful player to have, no question about that. But his presence was a thing. I think it is only a one-match, right? It wasn't violent conduct. So I think it's deemed a match ban. But and I actually hope it is because I'm in my team for Tuesday night as a striker, would you believe? So
He's in the number nine, yeah.
Well, no, but he hasn't been playing as a striker, has he? No, he has played. He's had a wandering brief, as it were. But I'd love us to go back to 4-4-2 for a while and have a midfield of Maris, Lapsley, Clark and Quinn. I think we need that strike ability that Lapsley and Clark bring to the midfield to support what is an under-pressure strike force. So, and I'd have Oates and Bowery on Tuesday night, I think.
But Adam says,
what do I know? It's gone.
Adam says, Oates and Swan, bear with them. Team performance has not been too bad. Be patient. Kerry says, Bowery got the red card on a cup game, so he doesn't miss three games. He therefore can play Tuesday. Roger says, we have some very impatient fans on the keyboards.
Always do.
Kerry says, Oates and Swan for me all day long. Craig says, can we afford another bad start? To the season,
yes.
We can't rely on another unbeaten run. He says we don't need another midfielder, but he signs two and no striker or centre back. He must sort it. What do you make of that, Cam? Can we afford another bad start to the season? Personally, I think time's running thin if we want to hit the ground running. If Sky Bet turns out to be the same as it was last season, which indeed was very, very tight.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the run that we went on, no winning 14 games, and then we miss out on automatics by what? How many points?
One in the end, was it?
automatic promotion, weren't we?
Yeah, but so if you pick up one point in that and it's totally different, and we had a good start last season, you think, unbeaten in opening three, win two, draw one. And you're thinking, all right, yeah, we'll do all right this season. Then absolute bus hits you. We lose players left, right and centre again, and we just go on this massive downward spiral. So let's hope it's not exactly the same as last season. But I'd like to think that Clough has taken into account last season and done a little bit of planning or a little bit of brainstorming as to sort of like what he wants to do with the team and tactics and whatever, because yeah, we can't afford another season in League Two, really.
Still a long time to go, though, isn't there? In the transfer window,
there's a long time to go, but you think if you get off to a good start, then usually you'll be in and around it. There's obviously a few teams that do start well and then tail off towards the end of the season. Obviously, Sutton did it. Leighton Orient did it. They had a really good start last season as well. They've done the same again this season, and they tailed off towards the end. So obviously your start's not everything, but you need to get your fan base behind you. You don't want your fans on your back after three games, do you? So I think it's just more like getting confidence within the fan base and the club. It's a difficult one, because when you're not winning games that you should be winning, it can be difficult, because obviously everyone's a football manager, and reading by the endless comments on Facebook, it seems that everyone can do a better job than Clough could. But it's frustrating, because you think it's 70 8 days since we lost in that playoff final. And you think back to this time last year and nobody had thought we'd have ever got to the playoff final, let alone survived survived relegation last season. So there is a long way, and anything can happen in football. It's a weird game, and the over the course of 46 games, it's a lot of turns in the road, and many, many different things can happen. So, it's a hard one to sum up. It really is.
It certainly isn't. Talking of a hard one to sum up, that's this streaming software. Alan Wilson has closed his laptop down, thrown it out the window, gone and picked it up again and plugged it back in, and he's logged back on. Can he speak?
Well, I hope so, Craig.
Go on.
The only thing I've got to say, Craig, about Reece Oates's two chances yesterday, if you flip it on its head, and their striker had been going, what would we have been saying about Christy Pym? It had been, you know, miraculous. It had got man at match. You know, there's two sides to every story, isn't there? Okay, he missed two, what he'd normally score. But I bet out of 10, he'll put 7 away.
Now, do you know what? I've said it for years, and you can go back through this podcast and I'll be absolutely proved right. Lawrence Vigouroux is one of the top three keepers in Sky Bet League Two. And whenever we've been looking for a goalkeeper, his name is one that I've always thrown into the mix. He was excellent. I think it was at Swindon that he was before, wasn't he? Was it under Flitcroft, Cam, that he was at Swindon?
I think so, yeah.
I think you said that to me yesterday. But again, the saves that he made, if you look that from an analytical point of view, as a neutral, as from a goalkeeping perspective, they were three top draw saves. And again, he made a comfortable one from Ollie Clark, who probably should have done better in the second half. But again, you know, against any other goalkeeper or on another day, he doesn't get his leg to it. It just goes above his leg and it goes in the back of the net. It's one of those things. And one thing we also probably should point out about yesterday, Clyde, before we turn things more broadly, because I really want to talk about your comment about systems, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But one thing we should point out yesterday was whoever scored the first goal yesterday was probably going to go and win the game, whether that was the first minute or 90th minute, because the heat was just ridiculous. I honestly have no idea how they managed to play in that. It was sweltering in the stands, and out there in the middle of the park, it must have been pushing 40 degrees at times.
Yeah, as I said earlier, it's the wrong time to play football. Obviously, no one's in control of the climate, but it's not football in weather. And hats off to them. These players have got to be fit to have played 90 minutes under those conditions with just a couple of water breaks thrown in. But it didn't help the standard of football. It certainly was never going to be a fast-moving, sweeping goal fest of a game. And we had the chance to take the game by the throat in the first minute. We muffed it. But having said that, on another day, we'd have won that game comfortably. I don't have a real problem with the goal, with the chances that were missed. The goalkeeper had a worldie. And, you know, these things are going to come along every now and again. But it's far too early to worry about where we are and to start calling for the questioning the manager's ability, which I know people tend to do because we're all better managers than the one who is paid to do the job. But you won't get many of the 500-odd people that went to the Bayer Stadium down in Leighton yesterday to believe that we haven't got a good side. We played well, given the circumstances that we are working with key players missing, dreadful heat, bad luck, and a goalkeeper on absolute top form. I don't think there's much wrong there. And it's small percentages that makes the difference between being successful or unsuccessful. And I have no hesitation in thinking that we're going to do quite well this year, but I'd like to better start. Of course I would.
Interesting.
I'm not buying the panic at all.
No, not at all. I personally felt we played really, really well yesterday. And I tried to sort of stay out of conversations on the way back about, you know, getting strikers, this and that, because from what I'm seeing from a performance point of view, other than Salford, where I thought we were absolutely dreadful, I think we've played some good stuff so far this season. We were tremendous against Derby and gave them a real, real good game. Very narrow game in the end. Real, real classic. Tranmere, I thought we played very, very well and obviously made the most of our set piece. And again, times against Leighton Orient yesterday, I felt we played comfortably well in certain conditions, contending with injuries and things like that. the only sort of niggle and things that I have at the moment are how long we persevere with the 3-5-2-4. And I've been a big fan of it, and I am a big fan of it, and I truly believe that it will come good for Mansfield Town. But like I've said on numerous occasions, with the right personnel in the right positions, and I'm not entirely convinced that yesterday, again, at times in that game we had it. We then did change to a back four at times, and we looked better, but then we looked a little bit lost at times as well. I think we need to find our identity. And the question for me, Clive, is whether we persevere with three at the back to try and grow into it, which is, you know, essentially what Nigel Clough is clearly trying to do at the moment, or do we switch back to what we knew and what worked for us last season, which was a back four, a solid back four, then either a diamond in midfield or a three with one in behind the front two. Do you go for a formation which could come good long term, or do you go for the short term plaster over the cracks?
I mean, the answer is you should be saying yes to the first, but in practice we'll say yes to the second because there's too much at stake. People are under pressure, clubs under pressure, managers under pressure, and the fans can't tolerate too much of disappointment. It's a fact. So I think we do need to do whatever we have to do in the next three or four games to turn would-be wins into actual wins. And then you can go back to looking at formations. I mean, the whole thing is predicated on whether you play Callum Gordon or not, because he adds a dimension that we didn't have for most of last season. And I think my view at the moment is, in fact, we did change to a four at the back during the game yesterday, didn't we? Because it wasn't quite right for us. And you have to do it based on what the opposition's up to. And, you know, this is something that fans don't always see. And obviously, Clough and his management team responded yesterday. The problem with doing that, if you change the format mid-game, it doesn't always work because players tend to forget what they're doing. And I honestly think that the one bad mistake, the result of them scoring, was a result of players not being in the right position. It was simple as that. And loose possession in the key area. And then you're giving them the chance they don't deserve. But we have a mistake in this for every game. So we just need another goal every game. And it brings back to the argument is we are asking too much of a depleted strike force at the moment. So somebody suggested, why don't we try Gale up front? I'm there's merit in that. It's the lad's there and he's fit. But I'm not at this point convinced about Swan. I think I liked what I saw of him pre-season, but he hasn't really brought that into the league game so far. He may do, and I hope he does, because he's a young, fit player. And let's be fair, Oates needs some support. The lad's battling too long on his own, and I think, as Cam says, he's not actually as fit as he perhaps needs to be.
Staying with formations and quick fixes versus longevity, Adam in the comments says, depth in the squad is phenomenal. Let's wait till the injured players pan out. 3-5-2 is a winning formula for a full squad and strong bench. Cam, what's your take on it?
I think, yeah, we've got to wait for these players to come back from being injured, but these, like, we had an all but fully fit squad going to Salford, and we were dire. And that was a game that we should have comfortably won last season. And yes, they've made a couple of signings, but they weren't... I mean, you've got Richard Naughty at centre-back, who ended up going into the team of the week, and I think he actually made it into the EFL team of the week as well. That's how dire we were. And Naughty's, well...
Naughty had a good game, let's be fair.
We made him look good.
But this is the point. When you've got a fully fit, a near fully fit team, you need to be hammering teams like that. And it's ridiculous because we create chance after chance after chance, but we don't put them away. And now, even in games where we're missing key players and this, that and the other, we're still creating chances, but we're still not finishing them off. So that either says that we're missing players more than we think, so i.e. Hawkins in right position, blah blah blah, whatever, or we're just simply not good enough and we need to add an extra body to bolster the squad. Yes, we've got strength and depth, but is it going to win us games at the minute? It's not.
Jim says, surely we have to stick with one system. The players won't know whether they are coming or going. Alan Wilson, your take on it?
Well, I think you know my feelings on the three at the back, Craig. I don't like it at all. Never have done, never will do. I think there's too much can go wrong, and if it does, there's no cover. That's just my personal opinion. I prefer to see 4-3-3 or 4-4-2. I don't like three at the back, so I don't think, admitted, it's worked a couple of times for the Stags, but on the whole, I just don't like it.
Andy says, only listened to the game yesterday. Performance sounded good. The highlights back that up. It's football. Sometimes the best teams don't win. The best team doesn't win. Over 46 games, this squad will come good. And I think, you know, there are promising signs there in terms of solidifying. Ding, ding. Where is it? I didn't want to knock my tea over. Solidifying. Thanks. You need it once. Don't be a bellend. Badoom. What was I saying? Yeah, in terms of strengthening that back line, James Perch yesterday coming on, even though he only got sort of 5 minutes, Alan, you know, if we get him some more minutes over the coming games, I think we'll be a lot stronger. And then that will free up a certain tall fella to go up top.
Yeah, I would admit that, Craig. I think he deserves to go up top because I think, personally, I think that's his best position. Although in the against Northampton in the both playoff semi-finals, it was a colossus. You know, he was man of the match both times, but they played to his strengths, you know, heading the ball, which is his strength with his height and his reach and everything else. But yeah, I would sooner see him up front, but we just need to either get that right. Like you said, the three people, your favoured three would be Perch, Hewitt and O'Toole, I assume.
Yeah, in the opposite order, but yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, those three. But then what happens to the young lad from Forest? Because I don't think he's done too bad at the moment.
He hasn't. And do you know what? He's got an absolute weapon on him, Cam. Long throw, and it's longer than longer than Mr. Hewitt's as well.
I didn't know that.
You do now.
I was listening to iFollow yesterday, and it was just... Oh, it was horrific trying to listen to it on the way.
So Harbottle's got an enormous weapon, has he?
Long throw, Clive.
Do you know what?
Yeah, I know what he meant.
But no, it was a terrible signal yesterday just trying to listen to the game. So I missed quite a bit. But no, I didn't know he's got a long throw.
Yes, it will certainly come in handy for us in the end, I think, especially having two people down that side. But again, I agree he's played relatively well so far that he's come in, but would I put him ahead of Perch when fit? No. Three at the back, says Adam, with attacking wing-backs. Tranmere match had all defence in attack at times. Positivity, that's what we want to see. It's not automatic that we win every game, says Darren. People were saying the same when Clough was not winning last season, but he turned it around. Defo need help for Oates up front. Our squad is full of talent. It is. And at the moment, it is full of injuries. You know, when you sort of dive into it a little bit, obviously Aiken's missing for whatever reason, depending about whether people like him or not. I personally think he's decent enough for us up top. He's missing. Boateng not fully fit. Obviously, Jordan Barry was suspended yesterday. I think had he been available, I think he may have started up top because I actually thought he played pretty well against Derby up top. With Swan as a partner, I believe it was, actually, with Oates to come off the bench. There's so many people in there which you can think about that are missing at the moment, which will add us some key ingredients. The one question I have, Cameron, we've not really spoken about this too much on the podcast, and we probably should, is the signing of Anthony Hartigan. Now, looks a really, really good player, comes with some really good pedigree, and from what I've seen of him so far, I actually really, really rate him. But again, far too many midfielders, and the one little niggle I had about the trip to Leyton Orient yesterday was the fact that him and Boateng seemed to get in each other's way. They're two very, very similar players. And for me, I think...
Boateng wasn't playing yesterday.
He was. He started.
He did.
I think you'll find he started.
What match were you watching, Clive?
He got subbed off on 43 minutes, Clive, for George Lapsley.
You're quite right.
Thank you. I know I'm right. I know.
Say Clive was there.
I go back to my point. I know. Sunstroke. Oh, sunstroke, old age. Let's put it down to that. Yeah. So for me, Cam, I think they're both fantastic talents to have in the team, but you can't accommodate them in the same 11.
No, I don't think you can. I think if you've got two similar players that can play different positions, you'll be fine. But when you've got players that seem to be able to only play one way, and that's just the way that they play, and also we don't know what Hartigan can do yet, but whatever what we've seen of Boateng when he played for Exeter and MK Dons, he's a brilliant player, but yeah, he plays one way, so it's just trying to fit everybody in, but then you don't want to be playing everybody out of position because it doesn't get you anywhere when you're playing. The one game that springs to mind, and it was actually a really good game, is Doncaster for away FA Cup last year. You've got that many different players out of position because of injuries. It was just absolute carnage for 45 minutes, and then it turns out to be the best game of the entire season. So you can't win because you need to fill gaps, but you don't want to play players out of position. But we can't just keep rolling over and just not fighting for it. Like, just the chances we should have put away yesterday are ridiculous. But I think... But then you've got to look it on the other way. You've got to throw Maris in there as well. How do you fit someone like George Maris in? Or how do you fit Lapsley in? Or Ollie Clark? Obviously, it is great having the players on the bench. But when the players that are on the bench are good enough to be playing in the first team, like starting, you've just got to make sure you're firstly keeping everybody happy. But you're playing the strongest squad. And I don't honestly think that Clough knows what his strongest squad is yet.
I don't think any of us do, to be honest. I think we could all, if everybody was fit, I think this would be quite a good experiment to do in future weeks, actually. If everybody was fit, I guarantee our 11s and lineups would be completely, completely different.
I'd agree with that.
It's absolutely mad. And I think that is a positive, but we've just got to get to that stage in reality, which is... not going to be an easy fit as well, because a lot of people talking about midfield, a lot of people don't rate Kieran Wallace. I actually do. I think he's a good option for us. Anyway, let's move on to some more comments. Peter says, would like to see Hewitt and Gordon combination on the right, matching Mackett and Quinn on the left to really offer more options for our strikers. Maybe that is a good way forward as well. Roger says, I don't envy Clough trying to get the good team set up. And Adam says, I liked yesterday's starting 11. Roger also adds, Boateng, a great player to have. I hope he's okay on Tuesday. And he says, difficulty in choosing the best 11 shows how good the squad is. Absolutely. Well, that's almost all we've got time for, talking about the Leighton Orient game and the Derby game. But we do have to turn our attention to two other things. One is a brand new feature, which we'll talk about in just a minute. The other is an ongoing feature of ours called Podcast Predictions. But first, a reprimand for Mr. Parkin is on the tables. Now,
Oh,
Cam knows where I'm going with this, don't you, Cam?
Do I?
Yeah, I think you do.
Well, then.
Yesterday, Mr. Parkin, on the coach to Leighton Orient, it's very, very warm on the way down there. And being a ginger, sometimes you've got to try and stay out of the sun, and when you can't, it zaps your energy a little bit. So I decided to close my eyes with a podcast and have a little bit of a nap, and somebody thought it would be okay to violate my human rights to take a photograph of me asleep and post it on the internet without my consent. Your right of reply, Mr. Parkin.
Don't give a sod. We're
gingers, don't have human rights.
Somebody did it to me. I thought they'd do it to somebody else. Simple as.
You could have done it to the person that did it to you. It wasn't me.
That person wasn't sat next to me. Listen, well, get used to it.
There's nothing. Craig will be sat next to you next week if that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, if you think that's it, about get used to it. I'll tell you now, one more photo of me asleep on social media, and that is it. Our friendship is done. I can't do. You can't see me. That's the time where I'm at my most beautifulest, when I'm asleep, when I'm in my own little world, and just yeah, see you later. You know what,
I have removed him.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna put him back in. I'll tell you, Clive, who was the perpetrator of your asleep photo. It's Tracy.
Yeah, and I'm not making the fuss like you are.
Yeah, well, you should. You shouldn't attack. Therefore, attack like. No, do you know what?
Let it go, lad.
Mainly because people will pay good money for photos like that, and I've not made a penny from it.
I mean, nobody that knew didn't know you wouldn't know it was you. It's from the back of your head. Well, in fact, I said it was you. That made the difference, I guess. But
just using my what used to be some form of status to gain you likes on social media. That's like catfishing.
Is that what catfishing is?
In a roundabout way, I learn something
every day.
You know what? We've not got time to explain it for you. Shall we turn our attentions to podcast predictions? Let's.
Yeah.
Of course, new rules for this season. I'm going to explain them to Cam again because I don't know whether he got it last time or not. And that is, you are predicting this time the outcome for Mansfield Town, so win, lose, draw. Then you are predicting the scoreline, and then you are predicting the time of the first goal scored. So, just to run through the points as well, it is 3 points if you get the outcome for Mansfield Town and the scoreline both correct. So, as it used to be, you with us so far, Cam?
Ish.
You get a point if you get the outcome for Mansfield Town correct, but the scoreline incorrect. Still with us?
Ish.
And you get a point if you get the outcome for Mansfield Town wrong, but the scoreline correct. Still with us?
Ish.
You then get 3 points if you get the time of the opening goal scored on the head, on the nail. So if it's scored in the 18th minute and you say 18th minute, it's 3 points. Still with us?
Ish.
You get a point if you are 3 minutes out either side. And if you get the outcome for Mansfield Town correct, the scoreline correct, and the time of the opening goal scored correct, 6 points doubled to 12 because you get double points.
Oh, my God.
And you know what? I'm not having to do the maths on this at all this season. We've got a fantastic guy that's doing it for us through Twitter. Really, really appreciate it. His name's Ben. Really, really appreciate all the stuff. We'll do the updated league table at the end of the month. Without further ado, Cam, you're up first on this week's podcast predictions.
Okay. I'm going to go with a 1-0 win.
And the goal time, please.
Oh, God. 19th minute.
Clive, you're next.
2-0, 36.
Right. I've got an issue with that. You didn't say win, lose or draw.
Win, 2-0, 36.
Thank you. It's not hard, is it? Not hard. Alan, you're next.
Mansfield Town win, 2-0, 13th minute.
That's how it's done. That's how it's done. I am going to say that we will draw 2-2 and the goal will be scored in the 32nd minute. If you want to get involved, the link is in the description. You must do it 1 hour and 1 minute before kickoff. And we'll post all our predictions, including Nathan's, on our social media later in the week. We'll also have podcast predictions for the Stockport game on Friday on our social media, but there'll be no podcast between now and then due to work commitments and other things in life. Right, time for a new feature for you. Now, on Twitter, there's a new account which has been set up. I've got no idea who's done it. I've enjoyed playing along when I've seen it. It's called @StagsWikipedia, aka Guess the Stag, where every day they post a Wikipedia screenshot of a former Mansfield Town's player's career for you to have a guess at. I thought I would take a bit of a gangle week on the podcast. There will be one for you guys to get involved. How the game's going to work, I'm going to read out their career line by line. And all you have to do is, if you think you know who the player is, all you've got to do is just shout out your name. That acts as your buzzer. Are you with me so far? Alan, are you with me?
Yes.
Clive, are you with me?
Yes.
You got it?
Ish.
Yes.
Ish. Right, I'll give you an example. Let's have an example practice one. So this is how it works, okay? So I would read out as follows. Youth career until 1999 at Dunfermline Athletic. If you think you know it, shout out your name as your buzzer. 1999 to 2000, Edronians, 16 games, 5 goals. 2000 to 2004, Barnsley, 121 goals, 121 appearances, 4 goals. 2004 to 2005, Mansfield Town, 41 appearances, 1 goal. And 2005 to 2015, Hamilton Academical, 211 appearances, 4 goals. That's a career total of 389 appearances with 14 goals. Did anybody want to have a guess at who it is? Shout your name out.
No idea.
It's a Scot.
It is. Cam, any ideas?
No idea.
It was Alex Neil.
Oh.
Okay, so that's all you got to do is I'm going to read it out live, and you've just got to have a little bit. Do you want to have another?
No, that's good.
Right, here we go then. So all you got to do remember, like I said, shout your name out when you think you know it. This could be a long one. So here we go. Your name is your buzzer. I will take the one that I hear first. Youth career, 2004 to 2007, Crewe Alexandra. Senior career, 2007 to 2010, Crewe Alexandra, no appearances, no goals, including loan spells with 2008, Nantwich Town, 2008 to 2009, Lee Greenis, 2009, Stafford Rangers, 2009, IBV, 2010, Hensford Town, 7 appearances, no goals. Permanent career, 2010 to 2012, Hensford Town, 104 appearances, 28 goals. 2012 to 2017, Mansfield Town, 132 appearances, 10 goals. 2017 to 2018, Grimsby Town, 16 appearances, 4 goals. With loan spells at Barrow in 2017, Forest Green Rovers in 2018, before he joined on a permanent transfer, Cheltenham Town from 2018 to 2021 with 69 appearances and 3 goals, and he was last seen playing at Nuneaton Borough. Cam, do you think you know who it is?
Oh, trust me, that's a difficult one.
Alan, do you think you know who it is?
No idea, Craig.
Clive, do you think you know who it is?
Not a Scooby.
Oh, dear. I should give you... Do you want some clues?
No.
Why not?
Tell us who it is.
That's not the spirit of the game, Clive, is it?
Tell us, give us a clue. Oh, somebody's already put in the comments.
Well, you've got to be the first one to... Alan! I don't know about you, Cam, but I think I heard Alan there. Can you confirm that you heard Alan first?
Maybe.
Can you confirm... Support me.
Yeah.
Can you confirm that you heard Alan first, yeah?
Yeah.
Alan, over to you for the answer.
I'll go with Chris Clements.
Correct answer. Well done. Alan gets this week's winner. What we're going to do is we're going to keep a tally chart of it as well for how many you get right. So, Alan, well done to you. You are the first winner of the Guess the Stag Wikipedia game thing, which I need to get a better name for.
Now, well done, Andy Edwards.
Sign up. If you're not already on Twitter, get yourself a Twitter account and have a practice every single day. They are at Stags Wikipedia. They post one Monday to Friday every single day. They have a bit of a league going on there as well. So get involved with that. Right, that's almost all we've got time for. Cam, I'm going to come to you first. Obviously, AFC Wimbledon at home on Tuesday night. We already know that you have gone for a 1-0 win with the goal coming in the 19th minute. What are you expecting from Mansfield Town and from the game itself against, of course, one of the relegated sides last season?
It'll be a difficult one. I think they're going to be disheartened by the late equaliser that they conceded yesterday at home to Lancaster. I think obviously it's going to be a difficult one for us. I think obviously with depending on injuries, who we've got missing, and then just depends what side decides to turn up. I think if we've got a mostly fit side, obviously I'd expect him maybe not to necessarily risk someone like Boateng. I just think that we've just got to start performing because and getting the goals, because the performances that have been there, we just need to finish them off. And that's probably the most frustrating thing, is that we're not playing badly other than the Salford game, because that was fucking, but other than that, it's just finding his feet. I know it's obviously the same core of the squad, but we still need time to gel, and because the new additions, they are good players, and they are going to make us a better side and just overall just improve our game. But we just need, it's just finding that time to bed these new players in, and then also just managing our expectations. Yes, we need to be getting promotion this season, but there's another 43 games left. It's not the end of the world yet. I mean, if you come to this and we're in November again and we've not won in 14 games, then different question. But we're three games in. It's not the end of the world. So, I mean, a win is a must. I think that's just to get the confidence back in the players. But even just getting a point, it's not the worst thing to get, I don't think. As long as it's not a loss. If we get another loss, I think players are just going to have fans on their back, and obviously Gaffer's going to have his hands full with managing players, and then also having to deal with the nonsense that fans decide to spout everywhere. It's just a difficult one to manage, but yeah, difficult game, but winnable.
And of course,
every game is winnable this season.
Of course, and I think we'll be boosted anyway because it is the return of Alan Wilson to the PA box. Alan, Alan, can I ask just before we start? This is not a dig at Mr. Revel. I like Chris. I've got a lot of respect for him, but can you please read the subs out when you read the team out and the squad numbers? I mean, he did do that for the Derby game, but didn't on the first game. Can you read the subs out at the same time, please?
Yes.
Thanks, mate. What are you expecting from the game?
Expecting a good performance. I think Clough, after the training, will have given him a bit of a rallying call, although, like he said in his interview, they played reasonably well. It was just lack of finishing, really, that did us, and that's not going to happen every game. I mean, Oatsy could put the next two, you know, in bottom of the onion bag. So I'm thinking one goal in each half, reasonably comfortable, and a good performance.
Clive, what about you? Actually, nobody cares. That's my revenge for taking photos of me on social media. Until next time, don't forget, we won't be back next Sunday. We won't be here in the week. We'll be back a week on Tuesday night, though, for talking all things Mansfield Town. Right, where's my lawyer? Well, that's all we've got time for on today's Mansfield Matters podcast. My thanks, as always, to you guys at home for listening, whether that's to the audio version or getting involved with tonight's live feed. And, of course, to the Mansfield Matters podcast panel. And also a very, very special thank you to Guess the Stag on Twitter, at Stags Wikipedia. They post a Mansfield Town-related puzzle every single day during the week. Go along and have a play along with that. It's really, really good fun. And we'll be doing it again next week, putting our podcast panel to the test. At Stags Wikipedia is the place to be. Talking of podcast features and games, make sure you get involved with podcast predictions as well. The link is now live to get involved with Tuesday night's AFC Wimbledon game, and we'll put the link for the Stockport game on Saturday on later in the week, probably around Thursday or Friday. Make sure you're following our social media for that. Of course, there'll be no podcast between AFC Wimbledon and Stockport either due to time commitments with work and children and other things like that in between. So there'll be no podcast between Tuesday night and Saturday. Make sure you stay tuned to our social media, though, for all the updates. We'll have the Norwegian Stags blog, we'll have podcast predictions, and maybe a little something else for you as well, if we get the time to do it. We will be back, though, not next Sunday, but next Tuesday, so in 10 days' time, when we recap the AFC Wimbledon game, Stockport game, and look ahead to the trip to Sutton United as well. Hopefully by then, Mansfield Town will have added 6 points to their total tally in Sky Bet League 2 and will have stopped the frustrating feelings which are starting to grow. Ah well, what else can we do but enjoy the sunshine, cross our fingers and think back to this time last season when things weren't quite going great, but in the end it turned out all right. Ish, hopefully one better this week. Thanks for listening. Thanks for getting involved. We'll see you next time on the show for the fans, by the fans. Why? Because Mansfield always matters. Good night.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.